Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Katie Hinson, Coastal Resilience Specialist over at Sea Grant, and we also have Olivia Carby. She's NOAA Coastal Resilience Fellow, and they both join me to talk about something called the Community Funding Hub Program. So, Katie and Olivia, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having us.
So, you know, the idea of kind of this community funding hub sounds interesting, and I will like to get into that with a little bit more detail. But first off, I'd like to have you both share a little bit of what you do. So, Katie, I mean, we can start with you, and I know you've been on the show before, but what do you do over there at Sea Grant?
Yeah, so the University of Hawaii Sea Grant College Program is part of the University of Hawaii, and our mission is really to support communities, especially coastal communities in Hawaii, to connect with science and different kinds of resources for more sustainable coastal and marine conservation. And I work specifically on resilience, so I work to help communities connect with funding, information, people power, related to preparing for different kinds of hazards and resilience needs.
Well, that's great. And Olivia, what is it? What's your role? Are you kind of resident in the Sea Grant program, or are you kind of separate? You're with NOAA.
So I'm doing a two-year fellowship program as a result of the Coastal Resilience Regional Challenge, which is a broader effort that NOAA is funding. And I'm housed here at Hawaii Sea Grant supporting the Pilina Mogu Project, and I'm specifically working in community-engaged research, capacity building, and workforce development.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad you brought up Pilina Mogu, because, you know, I was basically introduced to this as the community funding hub, but maybe Katie, you can sort of describe. There's a community funding hub program, but there is Pilina Mogu. Now, Pilina Mogu what exactly is the relationship between one and the other?
Yeah, so Pilina Mogu is the larger project that this particular funding hub opportunity is kind of nested within. So Pilina Mogu is a collaborative that is led by Hawaii Sea Grant, but with lots of different partners, over a dozen partners across the state. And it's focused on five particular moku. Maybe I can list them super quick. West Kauai, Waianae, Oahu, almost all of Molokai, Kona, Molokai, Central Maui, and Kohala, Hawaii. And the project is looking at supporting different kinds of environmental conservation work, preparedness for natural hazards and disasters, and then also thinking about the ways that we manage our natural resources. So how can we increase agency and involvement of local communities and practitioners in decision-making about our natural resources? So it's a five-year project made possible by a large grant from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And this funding hub opportunity is kind of within that larger five-year project.
And you mentioned these moku. How were the moku selected?
Yeah. So the moku were selected as part of a collaborative process with all of our partners. And in particular, we were looking for places that have really innovative things happening when it comes to cultural and natural resource stewardship. So places where they have lots of lessons to teach other parts of our archipelago. And also places where they've kind of seen an underinvestment in terms of federal resources for resilience historically. So that's how we ended up in those particular five moku.
Can you maybe describe some, let's say, programs within a moku that you want to talk about that indicate some of their innovation and initiative that you wanted to help sort of further you know, develop? And pick one. Sure. I don't want to pick one for you. You pick one.
All right. I will pick Waianae because it's close to home.
Okay.
We have some really wonderful partners in Waianae. We've been working with Ka'ala Farm and Malama Learning Center, both of which are doing really innovative things around food sovereignty, around training of youth and workforce development, and now increasingly around fire protection and preparedness for the broader Waianae community. So the goal of Pilina Moku is to just kind of expand on that great work that's already happening there and help to support them and take it even further forward with an additional infusion of resources.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you picked Waianae because I would have probably picked that one as well. Now, in terms of, so Pilina Moku, kind of overarching program, and then within that program is the community funding hub. And you mentioned that NOAA provides some funds. Can you share like the amount, like in total, what is the total amount that you're working with?
So the total amount for the five-year project is $68.5 million. And that is being distributed across lots of different existing partners, but then also in the coming years through additional funding opportunities like this community funding hub opportunity to new partners within the Moku.
Okay, that's really good. I mean, I've not heard this kind of positivity in a long time. I mean, it's good that you've got some monies and you have a period of performance, 5 years. Do you know when the five-year period started?
It started in 2024, so we're entering the second year of the project just this past month.
Okay, and in terms of entering into the second year, what have you accomplished in the first year? And feel free to pull Olivia into this conversation because, you know, I don't want to leave her out of it.
Of course. well, maybe I'll keep going, and Olivia is particularly has expertise around these community funding hubs, so she might be able to add some additional insight there.
Sounds good.
So what we've done so far, so we've been working with lots of existing partners. As I mentioned, we have about a dozen partners around the state. It's a mix of nonprofits, local kind of community practitioners, state and county agencies. Obviously, the university is involved through Hawaii Sea Grant. So we've been standing up those partnerships, figuring out how we want to work together, figuring out how to get the funding moved to those organizations that all have their existing projects, as I mentioned, like Ka'ala Farm and Malama Learning Center. We've also been working on all our environmental compliance, which is the super exciting things that allow us to do different kinds of environmental conservation in a safe and environmentally sustainable way. And then we've been thinking about how we expand our partnerships. So we've been working on designing this new community funding hub opportunity. And we've also been hiring some Moku coordinators. So we now have individuals that work in each of these five Moku that are connected really to the on-the-ground grassroots work and are helping to expand partnerships in these places.
Well, that's really good. And I do want to get Olivia involved in this conversation and we can sort of focus on some of the details around the Community Funding Hub program. So we're going to hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Katie Hinson, Coastal Resilience Specialist over at Sea Grant, and Olivia Carby, NOAA Coastal Resilience Fellow. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Katie Hinson, Coastal Resilience Specialist over at Sea Grant. And we have Olivia Carby, NOAA Coastal Resilience Fellow. And they've joined us to talk about something called the Community Funding Hub Program. And right before the break, I wanted to give Olivia some time to talk about. We talked a little bit about Waianae. Olivia, what are some of the other hubs that you're focusing in on? And Katie said that, you know, there are some folks that are already hired on the ground. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you want to identify, you know, what sort of hubs could now potentially participate in the Community Hub Funding Hub program.
Thank you so much for that question, Bert. With this funding opportunity, we're aiming to support community-based organizations across the five Moku that Katie mentioned previously, by helping them strengthen their capacity to manage funding and serve as a local resource to others in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to create these community funding hubs to be local anchors that can then help smaller organizations or groups access and manage funding to fund on-the-ground work, which can include things like adaptation projects, environmental restoration, and disaster preparedness. And we still have not selected organizations to be the funding hubs. We are starting a competitive process for organizations to apply to serve as these funding hubs. And each hub can receive up to $300,000 over the course of 3 years to build out their systems to later support groups within their MOKU.
So you have had some information briefings already. Can you share a little bit about what those information briefings contained and what is it that you can share with our listeners so that they can kind of get up to speed?
Yeah, so we hosted two informational webinars last week detailing the request for proposals, which we refer to commonly as the RFP.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a document that is posted on the pilinamoku.org website that our listeners can refer to with all the details about the funding opportunity. But essentially, these webinars really focused on going over some of the eligibility requirements, some of the application processes that the applicants would need to go through to apply, as well as the brief timeline description outlining that applications are due on December 15th at 5 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time.
Are you planning some additional information briefings, or are there recordings that people can watch reflect what it is that you did, you know, last week?
Yes, we recorded the webinars, and they're posted on the website.
Okay.
Again, that's pilinamoku.org. And we also created a frequently asked questions document where we are constantly updating it with questions we receive from the webinars and through email as well for our applicants to refer to. And there's another webinar coming up soon on December 2nd, where we will be hosting a proposal development workshop answer any questions related to the budget as well as the application process.
And Olivia, the number of participants or maybe partners that you decide to bring on for each MOKU is going to be obviously more than one, right? So are you thinking maybe, what, 3, 4, 5 per MOKU?
So we are looking to establish one community funding hub per MOKU.
Okay.
With the long-term vision that these hubs are meant to support other organizations within that community.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Kaala Farm as an example of some of the innovation that's taking place on the Waianae side. Are there other kinds of organizations that are doing that kind of work, let's say on Molokai or on Maui, as a result of the MOKU that you've identified?
There are several organizations that play a lot of different types of roles within these MOKU. And specifically for this funding opportunity, we are not limiting the type of organization that is eligible to apply. We're looking for nonprofits and other community-rooted groups with strong relationships within one of the 5 MOKU that we're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking for organizations that have experience supporting environmental stewardship and helping others build capacity.
So when you say build capacity, what is it that you would like these funding hubs to do in terms of the kind of skill that you're looking for them to impart on the community?
Yeah, so we're looking for the hubs to serve as localized, culturally grounded centers to expand access to funding and support community-led efforts in resilience, restoration, and co-management. And in the long term, this could look like facilitating and managing funding on behalf of community-based organizations that may lack capacity to do so themselves,
mm-hmm.
Support capacity building and take on some of the administrative burdens that come with reporting requirements, environmental compliance, and grant writing, as well as create some strategies to increase access to diverse funding streams. But with this initial $300,000 of seed funding, we're really aiming for the hubs to build up their own financial and administrative systems so that they can be better positioned themselves to support local organizations in the long term beyond this initial 3 years of funding.
I'm glad you kind of clarified that, because, you know, part of my my question was going to be what kinds of projects would you expect to see some of these funding hubs fund. But for the initial amount of money, there's a lot of federal compliance that goes into making sure that whatever projects, you know, whatever money gets spent on a project, there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of processes that need to be recorded in order for the money to get, you know, I'm assuming that some of these funds are based on reimbursement, or is it a lump sum that each particular nonprofit will get to build, you know, their funding hub capability?
Yeah, so the hubs will be interacting with the University of Hawaii through a cost reimbursement process. But in the future, funding will flow through others depending on the regulations of the funder. So our long-term vision is that these community funding hubs can then help access funds from federal or state grants, philanthropic resources, or maybe other innovative sources of funding. And then how the hubs interact with those entities will depend on the relationship that they have.
So Katie, you know, your role in this, are you perhaps part of the process, the compliance process, how, you know, funds are actually administered, and that's kind of the information you want to help impart on these community funding hubs?
Yeah, so I guess my role is that I'm a co-lead on the overarching Pilina Moku project. And part of the intention behind these hubs is actually that most of that $300,000 will be used for providing administrative support and helping other smaller organizations through those red tape processes. So the idea is that these funding hubs can help kind of level the playing field a little bit, so that smaller organizations that maybe normally have a hard time accessing grant dollars, especially grant dollars that come with lots of paperwork, can work with these hub organizations, and this seed money will support all that additional administrative cost that they need help with.
Now, not to take away anything from the purpose of Pilina Moku and the resilience work that you do, but I'm hearing that what kinds of, let's say, capacity building that you're helping the community to develop is probably useful beyond just the work that you folks do. So I'm just curious, would other nonprofits that perhaps aren't part of the Moku participate in the learnings that you folks impart, so that they can then look to building that kind of capacity within their organization to manage, you know, some of these funds that might come through other means, right? So I'm hearing that the skill that you're trying to impart is going to be useful across a number of different sectors, right? So I'm not to expand your work any more than you have to, but isn't what you're helping to build capacity useful across different sectors?
That's certainly our hope, right? It's all interconnected. You can't really separate environment from health, from economic resilience. Mm-hmm. So our hope is that these funding hubs will primarily serve these geographic moku, but as we mentioned, the intention is that they be kind of leaders that can then help provide lessons learned or additional information, resources, examples to other places, and that absolutely we can leverage these particular funding hubs to provide support across different sectors, not just in the realm of Aina conservation.
Now, I do want to...
Just to add on to that.
Sure, and Olivia, what I want to do is I'll give you a chance to maybe fill in whatever information that you want to add to that. We want to take a short break. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at the short break to continue our conversation with Katie Hinson, Coastal Resilience Specialist over at Sea Grant, and Olivia Carby, NOAA Coastal Resilience Fellow. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Katie Hinson, Coastal Resilience Specialist over at Sea Grant, and Olivia Carby, NOAA Coastal Resilience Fellow. And Olivia, you were gonna add something to what Katie just said, and feel free to kind of fill in the blanks that you want to share with our listeners.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to emphasize that this isn't about just one grant. We're really looking to build a system that works better for local organizations for many years or decades to come.
Mm-hmm.
So we really hope to be able to share the lessons learned with the broader community and have that spread across the state to hopefully incentivize other systems like this to develop in other industries.
Well, I'm glad that you folks are doing this. I mean, I would venture to guess that there's some similar work that might be done by, HANO or some of the other organizations that support nonprofits. I'm glad to hear that your specific tasks are to kind of like use this $300,000 to, start the process of building that capacity within these organizations. So, Olivia, how do you envision, let's say, Five Moku, either across all the different islands, how do you efficiently get this sort of capacity or this training out to everybody? Do you have to pretty much do it over Zoom, or do you get out there and, work one-on-one with the organization?
Each applicant has the opportunity to draft up their own vision for their grants hub, mm-hmm. for their funding hubs. Apologies mm-hmm. for that. So depending on what the applicant would like to focus on in terms of their own capacity building and administrative and funding systems is how we're going to try to support them. So that's a very unique answer depending on which groups end up getting funded.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I would like to see us, collaborating closely with them and perhaps gathering all the hubs together to share reflections and lessons learned and continue that relationship building across all the Moku.
It almost sounds like this is something of a, I've had a number of programs on the show. I mean, these are primarily tech-oriented. There could be incubators or accelerators, but they all have kind of a cohort, and they run them through a program. I mean, this sort of sounds similar to that, mm-hmm. where you would have a cohort of partners for this, $300,000 tranche, and there's a primary objective which you want to help them build this capacity. So I think there's some, strong similarities. Now, in terms of delivery of all of this, like you said, there's probably going to be a little bit different nuance to each one. Between Olivia and Katie, I mean, is it just the two of you, or do you have other kind of support mentors that are going to be helping through the program?
We have lots of folks that work at Hawaii Sea Grant, so mm-hmm. we have an entire team here, many, many more folks than just Olivia and I. And then we also have a network of 12 additional collaborators and organizations on Pili Nā Moku. So it really is a group effort. Hawaii Sea Grant is involved in kind of a leadership role, but we are certainly not in it on our own. We're part of a whole group of organizations involved in Pili Nā Moku.
So the $300,000 for each of the partners is going to be, let's say, good for how many years? Did I hear you correctly when you said 3 years?
Yes, correct. 3 years.
So we're thinking, $300,000, that's a total of $1.5 million. What happens to the other 60 million dollars that the program is being funded for?
Yep. So the remaining funds are going out through other kinds of funding opportunities. So I mentioned we have some existing partners that are receiving funds to do on the ground projects. The examples I gave were like Ka'ala Farm mm-hmm. and the Lama Learning Center. And then we also will have more funding opportunities coming out in the future that relate to this grant. And those will probably be more closely tied to on-the-ground resilience and adaptation actions.
So what I'm hearing is that the sustainability of this, well, at least for the five-year period, has some pretty well-funded resources, and that if everybody is kind of up to speed with the compliance, then they could perhaps receive additional funds post that initial $300,000.
That would be something that could happen, yeah.
And then, you know, as you enter into the third, fourth, fifth year, what do you see as being kind of like your measures of success?
Well, we have a lot of measures of success for the larger Pilina Moku project. I think for the larger project, we're hoping to really make some significant difference in terms of environmental conservation and restoration, as well as we mentioned in terms of community governance and supporting community networks. And then when it comes to the community funding hubs, I think we would be thinking about things like access and the ability of smaller organizations within these moku to be able to receive funding to support the projects that they're interested in doing. And then as Oli has done such a good job of mentioning, a measure of success would also be kind of the long-term capacity of these funding hubs to really support local organizations for beyond these initial 3 years and serve as really important assets to the local community.
And
anything
and,
else?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to see if Oli wanted to add anything else in terms of success metrics.
You encapsulated that perfect, Katie. It was exactly what I was thinking.
And so I think what I hear is that you have your community funding hubs. You got five of them in each of them. You got five for each, I guess, for the moku, so five total. And then they are supporting some of the smaller organizations that perhaps receive some of the funds. And so I think, you know, it would be interesting to have you guys come back, you know, maybe 6 months, a year from now, and let us know who are some of the downstream. How has the program effectively helped the downstream nonprofits actually do some of the projects, you know, in their community? So I think, you know, that would be a great story to tell.
Yeah, we would love to do that.
Absolutely.
So I know you mentioned the website. So Katie, you want to repeat the website and what people can perhaps pay attention to in terms of the next information briefing?
Yeah, so the website is pilinamoku.org. You can find all the information to register for upcoming webinars and recordings from past webinars. And the deadline, if anyone is connected to organizations that are interested in applying to be a community funding hub, is December 15th.
Yeah, sounds very exciting, and I hope that all the nonprofits that I'm familiar with get a chance to maybe participate and like you said, build capacity. Katie Hinson is the Coastal Resilience Specialist over at Sea Grant, and Olivia Carby is the NOAA Coastal Resilience Fellow. And I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, and thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about AI governance. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.